Last week I had planned on finishing up this last chart, the parallels of the Passover and the crucifixion of Christ. But instead, I changed up, and I thought what we would do is we would cover the passages that pertain to this, and the bulk of it is Exodus 12 that talks all about God giving the commandment to Moses about the Passover. So I thought we'd read Exodus 12 and then cover two other passages because there's three important dates: Nisan 10th, Nisan 14th, and Nisan the 15th. Nisan, the 10th of Nisan, is the day that they were to choose their sacrificial animal. And then on the 14th of Nisan, if there was no blemish, then they would sacrifice that animal between the eaves, which means in the middle of the afternoon. Now, unfortunately, we'll come across this here in verse 6 of Exodus 12. But it got mistranslated in most of the translations as twilight instead of between the eaves. And Kaufman talked about this, about is the unfortunate... because twilight means right at the end of the day, right as the sun's going down. Well, that's not when they killed the animals, because they had to be all cooked and ready to go, because then they would start eating it as after the sun went down. But anyway, but it was between the eaves that they would kill the animals. And so that was the evening, or what we call the afternoon, started at noon and ended at 6, and in the middle of that is 3 p.m. So that is why Jesus gave up his spirit at 3 p.m. And so he is setting the Israelites up so they can start going over every year for 1,500 years. They will be repeating over and over what Jesus, what the Messiah will do 1,500 years later. And I'm confident that the reason for that, so they could pick up that this is another proof and evidence that Jesus was the Messiah, since he followed the exact pattern of the Passover. But there's no evidence that they ever picked that up. And in fact, Kaufman's the only one that I've ever even heard of about that there's Jesus's last week alive perfectly paralleled the Passover. But I'm glad that he picked that up. And then we made this chart off of this revealing that he wrote about, off of this chapter, and we covered this. It's been 5 years of covering this Exodus 12, and that's where this chart came from Kaufman's commentary. So we'll start reading here with Exodus 12. Now the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." So God has realigned their calendar at this point to where now, and I'm not exactly sure what their beginning month was, but I'll just say it would be like, of course, now it's January, and then God changing it to saying, now April will be your New Year's, and that will be your first day of the year. That's what he did to them. And so he realigned their calendar, and so now it's this month of Nisan that we're going to have to go to the book of Esther to get it named and to know what month this is, because it's not mentioned anywhere here in this passage. But that's what this is. The first month is the month of Nisan, and it shall be the first month of the year to you. So it would be what we would call January. But it got realigned. Okay. Verse 3. "Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household." Okay. So the sacrificial animal is chosen on the 10th of Nisan. And that is going to parallel what is now known as Palm Sunday with Jesus. And we know this because Jesus drove out the money changers out of the temple right after he made his entry into Jerusalem, triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And so that was on the Sunday, the week that Jesus was crucified. But that's the 10th of Nisan. You choose the sacrificial animal. Verse 4. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of persons, according to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. And this goes perfectly well with what God will tell them a little later about with the manna, to where you spread it out, each one gets just what they needed. And so if you had a small family of maybe, well, let's say three, a family of three, and then maybe you could, 10 people might could eat on a lamb, let's say. Well, then you share it with the next household. And so, because what's going to come up here in a few verses, nothing is supposed to be wasted. You eat it, and what is not eaten, then it has to be burned. So you want to waste as little as possible. So if you have a small family that cannot eat a whole lamb, then you get with your neighbor and then you spread it out to where everyone gets an allotment. Verse 5, your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You must take it from the sheep or from the goats. And so without blemish, this is what they tested Jesus from the 10th, 11th, 12th, 13th, even on that 14th, that morning he was going through these trials, and they tested him harshly, and they could not find one flaw or one fault in him. And King Herod couldn't find a fault, and Pilate couldn't find a fault. And so then form of verse 6, now you shall keep it from the 14th day of the same month, then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it between the eaves. It shouldn't be at twilight, because they killed it at 3 p.m. And then they had to cook it, and they had to be ready to be eating it at twilight, what we call twilight. So that's unfortunately a mistranslation for our modern English. It should be in the middle of the afternoon is what it should say. And that is exactly true to form. They could find no fault or blemish, no flaw in Jesus. And so they killed him, and he gave up his spirit at 3 p.m. between the eaves. Verse 7, and they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. They shall eat the flesh on that night. So this is after the 14th of Nisan. So now, once at sundown, that's when the 15th of Nisan started. That is the Passover. So Jesus was crucified a day before the Passover. The Passover is the 15th. So Jesus was crucified on the 14th of Nisan. But now this is talking about the 15th. This is talking about the Passover after sundown. And verse 8, then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw nor boiled at all with water, but roasted in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning you shall burn with fire. So they had to burn up any that they did not eat that night. And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover, because they were leaving that morning. And so they were to eat this, staff in hand, belt on. They were ready to leave out the door. when daylight came. Verse 12, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." So, this is also going to be repeated in Numbers 33, but this was not only a judgment on Pharaoh and the Egyptians. It was a judgment against all of these false gods of Egypt too, that God executed judgment on. And so that's also why this goes hand in hand. We had the chart about the different false gods that God eliminated and exposed as being false gods through each of the 10 plagues. And so that was good. I was glad that this was in here, and then that we had this chart. They go hand in hand with this Exodus 12:12. And then verse 13. "Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven from your houses, for whosoever eats unleavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel." So that is why they cleaned their houses and purged their houses of anything that had any leaven for the next 1,500 years. So they didn't get any leaven. And then this is what the apostles did on this Wednesday afternoon. They prepared for the Passover for that upper room. And so they worked on that all afternoon. And that's an explanation of why then they were so tired that night and they could not watch 1 hour, watch and pray as Jesus had commanded them to and wanted them to do, because the spirit was willing but their flesh was weak and they needed strength, but they couldn't stay awake. Well, they had worked hard cleaning that whole upper room and purging it of any dust and leaven, that yeast that might be in that place. Verse 16, "On the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and on the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation for you. No manner of work shall be done on them, but or except that which everyone must eat, that only may be prepared by you." So the only work on this 14th of Nisan that is to be done is in the food preparation. So they have to have it all cleaned the day before on the 13th or before that. And that's what the apostles did. And so now verse 17. "So you shall observe the feast of the unleavened bread, for on this same day I will have brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance." In the first month, we're still talking about this month of Nisan that we're going to get when we read in the book of Esther. In the first month, on the 14th day, so this is this day of sacrifice, "at evening you shall eat the unleavened bread." So now this is talking about after dark, after the 14th day. That's when, they start to eat. This is the equivalent here. "On the 14th day of the month at evening you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening." So this is at the very first of this 14th day they start to eat unleavened bread. And this is what we call now the Last Supper. This is what we would say the Wednesday night. But this was the night before Jesus was sacrificed. That was the starting of this unleavened bread that they would... And so this is what they observed here from this verse, verse 19 in Exodus 12. And verse 20, you shall eat nothing leavened in all your dwellings. You shall eat unleavened bread. Verse 21, then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said to them, pick out and take lambs for yourself according to your families and kill the Passover lamb. And you shall take a bunch of hyssop, dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two doorposts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out of the door of his house until morning. For the Lord will pass through to strike the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood on the lintel and the two doorposts, the Lord will pass over the door and not allow the destroyer to come into your houses to strike you. And you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for you and your sons forever. It shall come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, just as he promised, that you shall keep this service. And it shall be when your children shall say to you, what do you mean by this service, that you shall say, it is the Passover sacrifice of the Lord, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt when he struck the Egyptians and delivered our households to the people, so the people bowed their heads and worshipped. Then the children of Israel went away and did so, just as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so they did. And it came to pass at midnight that the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive, who was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of livestock. So, not even those Egyptians that were imprisoned, their firstborn even got killed. No one escaped. None of the Egyptians escaped this firstborn killing, and not even the livestock. The firstborn of all the livestock got killed too. Verse 30. So Pharaoh rose in the night, he and all of his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. Then he called for Moses. So Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise and go from among my people, both you and the children of Israel, and go and serve the Lord as you have said. As they've been demanding for, I don't know what period of time this is, probably several months, but all 10 of these plagues, but this was the 10th one that broke the camel's back, so to speak. Verse 32, also take your flocks and your herds as you have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians urged the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we shall all be dead. So the people took their dough before it was leavened, having their kneaded bowls bound up in their clothes on their shoulders. Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. Okay, so they took this unleavened bread. Now it's not going to rise since there's no leaven in it. And so they're going to be able to eat on this for the next 7 days. And then, verse 35, they ask of the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing. Verse 36, and the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. So God had made the Egyptians to where the Israelites were favorable in their sight, and so they granted them whatever they requested. So they asked them for, they got all that they were needing, I guess here, for the most part, for the next 40 years. They got all their kitchenware, their drinking containers and whatnot, and clothing. So they were well stocked here on preparation for their journey. And this is another example, as we mentioned last week, that God does never does send his own out unprepared, just like he did not send Mary, Joseph, and the baby Jesus out unprepared when they went to Egypt. They had the wise men that gave them the three gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so here they got gifts from the Egyptians before they went out on their 40-year journey. Verse 37, then the children of Israel journeyed from Ramses to Succoth, about 600,000 men on foot besides the children. So that doesn't count the women and children. There were 600,000 men. So they put this at somewhat close to nearly about 2 million people is what they think this translated into. When you had several children and you had a woman beside each man. In verse 38, a mixed multitude went up with them also, and flocks and herds and a great deal of livestock. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they had brought out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were driven out of Egypt and could not wait, nor had they prepared provisions for themselves. So now they had this unleavened or non-yeast, non-rising bread. So it was like crackers that they could bake and have for their food. Now the sojourn of the children of Israel who lived in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of 430 years, on that very same day, it came to pass that all the armies of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night of solemn observance to the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord, a solemn observance for all the children of Israel throughout their generations. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. No foreigner shall eat it, but every man's servant who is bought for money, when you have circumcised him, then he may eat it. A sojourner and a hired servant shall not eat it. In one house it shall be eaten. You shall not carry any of the flesh out of the house, nor shall you break one of its bones. And this is another parallel. None of Jesus' bones were broken, and that's why God is saying that you cannot break any of these lambs' legs, because the Messiah's bones will not be broken. And that's another parallel. Verse 47, all of the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger dwells with you and wants to keep the Passover to the Lord, let all of his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as a native of the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat it. So if a stranger shows up and they're staying with one of these Israelites and they want to keep or observe the Passover, then all of their males have to be circumcised. So that's quite a commitment that these strangers or these Gentiles would have to make in order to observe the Passover. Otherwise, they would just not observe it. Verse 49, one law shall be for the native born and for the stranger who dwells among you. Thus all the children of Israel did as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron. So they did. And it came to pass on that very same day that the Lord brought the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt according to their armies. Okay, so that is the full account of the Passover. Any questions or comments on this?